Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Blockbuster Monday on Advanced Medicine Monday here. We've got the major report by Natural News following up from yesterday's show on the Robert Scott Bell Show on Sunday on GCN. I had Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, on. Part two of that discussion will commence in a little while here, but I'm going to crank it up with my good producer, my wonderful, beyond belief, wonderful producer, Don.
Oh, jeez.
Well, look, man, I've got a disease, and you're the guy who's been able to help me with this and make light of it, because we don't want to take our diseases too seriously here. Is this orthorexia that we still have, or maybe I have only?
Yeah, we visited this a few months ago. I'm pretty sure we did. This was after we were on with Natural News, but it blew me away. It was something I'd never heard of before, that they actually have come up with a word that describes the disorder of eating healthy.
Yes. I know, and of course, I'm very concerned about this because I've been orthorexic since the early 1990, maybe 1990 itself, and I don't know how I'm alive, Don. I mean,
you didn't know you've got a disorder, Robert.
Very strange disorder that has been basically categorized, and I think it's all about me. I mean, it's always about me, right? I'm just the centric host here, and if a new disease comes out, I want it. Now, I joke about this.
I think it's kind of ironic. This is a disorder that was coined or discovered at a clinic that's called the Mayo Clinic. I call it the Mayo Clinic, rather than the Mayo Clinic.
Right. Well, it is the Mayo Clinic.
It is Mayo.
They want you to put mayonnaise on your sandwich.
They've been eating a little too much mayonnaise.
And if it were organic eggs and all that stuff, it'd be fine. But no, then we'd be doubly orthorexic because we'd be obsessed that the ingredients have to be of good quality, Don. How dare us?
An orthorexic, the way they describe an orthorexic is somebody that spends 3 to 4 hours a day obsessively reading food labels. Holy cow, are you kidding me? The people that read food labels when they go shopping, we just went grocery shopping today. And I look at the food labels. Why would that be a disorder? If you worry about everything that's in food, cutting out a lot of foods, including what the Mayo Clinic considers healthy ones, produce, because you're worried about pesticides.
Oh, outrageous. Don, you know what? The orthorexia, they're going to redefine it, because it isn't the reading of labels that's a problem. If it takes you 3 to 4 hours to read the labels, you got a problem. You're a slow reader.
Or you're doing a lot of shopping, I guess.
Yeah, either that. But I mean, honestly, if you can't pronounce the ingredients, just pass on by. Be a speed reader. Don't know what that word is. Put it away.
That's true. Once the ingredient has 15 letters in it, you can stop right there.
That should be it. But anyway, the Today Show is helping us out here because they recently covered this story. They had a nutrition expert. Oh, boy. I hate it when they say expert because you know that they're probably not too smart. But I don't know. Let's hear this Madeline Fernstrom, and psychotherapist. You got to have a psychotherapist in here, Robbie Ludwig,
yes.
Right, to determine how orthorexic am I. And why don't we just play the audio and see what they have to say? I think it'd be curious to see. Today's show on the Robert Scott Bell Show to launch it up. By the way, we'll have Mike Adams on again. Dr. Bittar will join us a little later for the advanced medicine segments. We'll be doing a lot of vaccine discussion. But first, we got to get through this orthorexia. Got me concerned here as we launch the show today. Let's hear what they have to say.
I have to say this was a new one on me, Madeline. Orthorexia, what is it? It's hard to imagine eating healthfully would be bad for you.
I think what could be bad with that? And that's why it's really under the radar. You think healthy eating, that could be a good thing. But the key thing that's missing here is moderation. This is an obsession with healthy eating, but it's reflected in many ways that can restrict your intake. You cut down what you're eating so you can get nutritional deficiencies and also the mental strain of dealing with being a perfect eater.
What? What did she say? Mental strain of being a. I just like, Don, I can't think. I gotta eat. I gotta eat healthy. I just don't get it. Where's the mental strain?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, I guess trying to eat healthy and avoid poison and additives and food colorings is very stressful. Yeah, and you know what? Look, I can understand. When you walk into your average grocery store and you actually become enlightened to the point that you start to understand and realize the things that are in the food that you may have been eating all of your life, that can cause some mental strain. And you know, maybe looking around and realizing that the stuff lying down the shelves as you walk down the aisle are full of things that you didn't once realize were bad, that could cause some mental strain.
But do we need to drug people for that? And, you know, she also said, well, the people that are cutting down on the amount that they eat, they could end up with deficiency disease. Listen, obese people have deficiencies because they're eating crap. They're eating food that has no nutrients in it. Well, let's carry on and see what else they have to say here in this Today Show report.
Most importantly, the way that it's different from eating disorders like anorexia and bulimia is that an orthorexic focuses on the quality of food. It's not the calories.
Or not about weight loss.
It's not about weight
quality.
Loss. It's all about how you feel as a virtuous person,
feel?
As a perfect person. I'm a better person.
I'm better than you.
So it's not about the pounds, and it's not about the amount of food. And
So if it's not about the pounds, it's about the quality. You're obsessing over weight. That's okay. Anorexia and bulimia. And I don't make light of those eating disorders, but I mean, that's okay. But we don't want you obsessing over quality.
You know, the first thing that came to mind when I thought about that is have you ever gone shopping for a car?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I suppose there's two ways you could go and buy a car. Number one, you could just walk up to the car lot and the used car salesman could say, buy this used car over here. This is a great car. You should trust me. This is a good one. And you could buy the car, right? Or you could maybe go online, do a little research, maybe look up consumer, reports, do some investigation into, you know, which car has the better gas mileage, might have the better reputation, might have the better warranty. But I suppose if you did that, that would mean that you've had some kind of a car buying disorder because you're looking for what? Quality, right?
Right.
So how many people shop for quality? A lot of people shop for quality. I didn't realize that means that you've got a mental disorder.
Well, it does now, a used car autorexic or something at that point. Maybe the Used Car Association could lobby the psychotherapy community and say, hey, can you diagnose this disease? Because we don't want to have people shopping based on quality. What else is going on the Today Show
if
here?
You ask for the car facts, I guess they're going to report you to the local psychotherapist.
There you go. You need to be drugged. Let's hear from the Today Show.
We turn to Robbie on the psychological component of all this. What are some of the characteristics, Madeline, of somebody who is orthorexic?
Someone who's spending, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day obsessively reading labels, worrying about everything that's in their food, cutting out lots of things, perhaps focusing on, even with healthy foods, maybe there are pesticides on produce, you know, the fat that's going to be in cheese, cutting down on salt. So taking some healthy things and then saying, I'm going to eliminate most things. So that's not a good thing.
She's on crack, that woman. Because the real healthy people don't obsess on fat. They actually embrace it and endorse it. I guess that's too shocking for them. So it must be a disease because we don't fear fat. Nor do we fear salt. I mean, real organic quality sea salt beyond ancient crystal. We know the minerals are going to be there.
So actually, I mean, it almost sounds like you, Robert, are a really severe orthorexic.
Oh, I'm a bad case.
Because not only are you cutting out what they consider to be the good salt, but you are consuming a whole weird, bizarre kind of salt
even
heard of. So
Don,
that makes you an ultra-orthorexic.
Bring on the fat. Yesterday I covered on the show the wife of Orlando Bloom, how she's pounding coconut oil every day. They're saying, don't do what she does. She happens to be gorgeous, beautiful, and healthy. I'm thinking she's smarter than all the people in government, all these dingleberries.
And didn't they come out and say that if you do what she's doing, it might kill you?
Yeah, exactly. They're full of the wrong kind of fat. Let's go on with today's show, see what kind of crazy stuff this psychotherapist has to say.
It's also very socially isolating. People are also starting to lecture
isolationist
others about
now.
You shouldn't be eating this. So if you see these kinds of signs in people, you know, you really have to wake up. But again, because you think, how could that be bad? It can be, because it can be horrible for your quality of life.
And Robbie, this is, we should point out, a disorder, not a disease.
Right.
But one imagines there is a psychological aspect underlying
this. Yes, absolutely. And we were talking about this earlier, that very often it's very similar to an obsessive-compulsive disorder.
I'm OCD
only
now.
The focus is really food. So that's anxiety-driven. Sometimes these people are depressed or trying to take real control of their lives.
I was going to say anorexia is supposed to be about all about control.
They're perfectionistic and often have low self-esteem and are isolated because of some of these eating behaviors.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's an isolationist nutritional policy. Let's call Ron Paul, because they always claim he's an isolationist when he's not. Oh, I want to embrace
Robert,
the food.
How you dealing with your low self-esteem? I just thought I'd ask. I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is really embarrassing, coming out as an orthorexic on the program today. Actually,
did they say something about kids? Did I hear that right?
I'm not sure if I heard the kid part of it, but I think they're probably worried that we're going to obsess over kids eating pesticides.
In the article, I noticed that they said that if the parents are eating this way, that they should be mindful if their children are too, because it could hurt their growth and development.
Oh, dude, my kids were reading labels. They were orthorexic almost after they were born. You know,
doesn't eating the right way help their growth and development? Isn't that the reason why we're doing this?
Well, they want us to have a fat phobia, of course. That should disqualify them. But you're right, of course. And, of course, my kids have been reading labels since they could read. And so they're automatic.
You know, here's something to think about, Robert.
Yeah.
I noticed an article earlier today where, and actually we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago, about whether having obese children could be considered child endangerment or
child abuse. Yep.
To give them an open door to come in and take your kids. If they are identifying eating healthy as a mental disorder, and if they're actually saying that eating that way can cause your kids to be damaged, it can hurt their growth and development, you know, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but are we seeing possibility, an open door, where if they determine that you are hurting your kids because you are eating too healthy, then it could be hurting their growth and development, that they might consider that child abuse?
Of course. I mean, this is where it goes. I mean, the attack on raw milk, everything else, it's related to that, destroying the family. Listen, my kids are ridiculously strong, and I don't mean to brag on them. I mean, yeah, they're kids. They're not perfect, but the point is, they're ridiculously strong. I should have drugged them. And that's what the government will say. You should have drugged them. They're too strong. Of course, you know, orthorexia now could be considered a genetic
disease.
I've
seen Elijah before. I think he could kick my butt.
Yeah. No, kid's a black belt at 11, and he's ripped. And there's no steroids in our house. Anyway, let's carry on with today's show, see if we can knock this thing out. This orthorexia has got me really going here.
So it takes over their life, where they're not living life because they're overly focused on food.
Yeah, and how do you know? Because I imagine there's a spectrum, right, of people who are very concerned about healthy eating and how you get into something that would actually be orthorexia. I mean, how do you know if this is something you need treatment for?
Oh, my God.
Well, in part, some of these people really are medically impaired and are putting themselves at risk. So that's really the first thing to consider. Somewhat socially isolated.
Looks like she's been one too many tanning salons.
If they're really not able to live life normally, and they're noticing that they can't work normally, or they're not connecting with other people, and they are depressed or anxious because of this, then there's a problem.
Here we go. I was at a birthday party yesterday. And my buddy there, I go to work out. We go boxing together sometimes. We go out. So he says, I can't take Robert anywhere. And everybody else in the party was going, why? Why can't you take Robert? Because he won't eat anything. He pulls out a brown bag of his own food. I can't take him anywhere. And I just smiled and joked. And I said, yep, exactly right. And, you know, we laughed about it. I don't feel socially isolated. I'm very happy and proud that my friends still like me because I'll eat what I want to eat. And
it's no different than when Jenny and I will go out to a restaurant, and there's a restaurant just down the street from here that's this big giant steak restaurant that, you know, serves these huge portions.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go out to eat, and there really aren't that many places around here, unless we want to drive a ways, to get what it is that we want to eat. So we went, we had to order a salad.
Yeah.
And we had to tell them, okay, we don't want the bacon on it. We don't want the cheese on it. Right. We don't want this dressing. We would like oil and vinegar, please. And you know, the girls sit here looking at us.
We can't take you anywhere.
You know, try to figure out exactly what it is that we want and have to go back and tell them how to do it special. But, you know, that's just what you do. And because you know you're doing the right thing and there's a purpose.
Yep.
To how it is you're eating, and
I think
and
it upsets everybody.
It's fine.
It's upsetting these three women on the Today Show, and as I mentioned,
it must be. Robert, I love the way that she used the word normally.
Yeah,
you notice I should repeat that two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can't live normally. They can't work normally.
Well, who's normal? Why
do
you
want to be normal?
Not
you
that
be
normal.
Normal.
No, she's been in one too many tanning booths. I can see that now. Let's finish this up here. Hold again.
Everybody's got some food quirks. I mean, we all have them. But
food
when
quirks.
It starts to interfere with your life, and others may be telling you this, because sometimes people don't want to recognize it. They say, "I'm really a healthy eater," and defend this. You really have to take action, because it's going to be a physical problem. You can get nutritional deficiencies, protein deficiencies.
Again, deficiencies.
You won't be in good physical health, and your mental health suffers as well.
And very quickly, you say some. Children might be more prone to this?
Well, children can be prone to this, and it's particularly bad because it's growth and development. Parents want to do the right thing. They see their parents doing it, and they do it. So
oh
it can
gosh.
Be something that is fulfilling
is.
In the
yep.
whole
Don't
family.
Follow
so
your
you
parents.
Really have to fight against it. But moderation is key in everything,
moderation.
Especially healthy eating.
Right.
And the
difficulty is that these people are resistant because they really feel that they're in the know. So that is really the challenge.
We're
something
in the
to
know.
Be aware of.
Indeed,
wow.
it is. All right, now.
That's enough. I can't stomach this anymore.
Dude, no, this is crazy. This is crazy stuff. You know, if I didn't know any better, and maybe I do know
you
better.
You do know better.
I would say this is a hit piece.
Either
these people are absolutely delusional, which is definitely possible. It is the Today Show.
Yes.
But or this is something that has been created to go after the health food industry.
And, you know, they attack the family again. Well, the kids might learn from their parents. They might actually learn to eat well by their parents. We can't have the parents doing that. It's the government. We got to go to the government. We got more stories than this, but we're out of time here. The only thing I'll end this thing on here, Don, is that the next story in line on the Today Show on the website here is Carrie Fisher looking to get back in her Jedi bikini. Okay, now we know the level to which seriousness goes on at the Today Show. Listen, we got a lot to do today, Don. Thanks for chiming in with me on this Today Show hit piece on orthorexics like us. And Orthorexics Anonymous right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's Advanced Medicine Monday. When we come back, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, joins me. And we are going to talk about this blockbuster release on the Institute of Madness Medicine and its connection to the Defense Department and so many other things, militarizing all of the vaccine industry. Coming up next on the Robert Scott Bell Show, check it out at robertscottbell.com. 866-939-BELL is the number if you'd like to be part of the show sometime. We'll be right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
I mentioned this blockbuster expose on Natural News. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, has done it again, revealing things that the old media is loath to cover ever, and they're going to be forced to cover this on some level because the conflicts of interest at the Institute of Medicine run so deep into the medical and military-industrial complex. It is shocking. We covered this a little bit yesterday on my GCN show of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Now we're going to cover it even more with more things being revealed today on Natural News and Natural News Radio right now. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, joins me.
Hello, Robert. Hey, it is always good to join you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, kicking off Advanced Medicine Monday, you want to talk about advanced medicine understandings here. The links that have been revealed in this report, they're horrific. They're shocking. Even though we've followed these things for years, still, when you start putting the pieces together and making the connections, it is still a bit shocking.
You know, this report even blew my mind as I started to get into it. And by the way, for those listening, this was published last night at midnight on Natural News. It is still the top story right now, so you can check it out at naturalnews.com. But this report, I mean, I've been around this industry a long time, Robert, as have you, and we've seen all kinds of crazy things from the vaccine industry and the quackery and the corruption, the bribery, the fraud, the FDA cover-ups, and so on. But when I got into this story about the Institute of Medicine, I could not believe what I was uncovering. It was like I opened a door to some other universe.
Yes, alternate reality.
It's so dark. I mean, I even have a hard time following all of this as I'm writing it. It's just incredible.
It's like a fictionalized something that would end up in a Hollywood script that they go, oh, that's too far-fetched. Let's make a movie about it. No one will believe it. And this is really happening. And I've often called the vaccines the gateway drug into lifelong dependency on the medical industrial complex because of the damage it would do. Now, on top of this, it reveals that those entities around the world that profit from disease are all in this from the start.
Yeah, let me break it down for people who are new to this, because this is just breaking. In fact, we broke it yesterday on your radio show Sunday with Genesis and then published the story last night. So let's break it down. The Institute of Medicine published a big report on Friday where they claim to have reviewed 12,000 published medical studies and papers on vaccines and compiled a list of vaccine adverse effects. And they concluded from all of this that vaccines don't cause autism, but they do cause measles and seizures and anaphylactic shock and skin lesions and live viral infections and many other things. But from this, the mainstream media only took the conclusion that vaccines don't cause autism, which, as we'll talk about, is also a false conclusion.
Right.
But the mainstream media ran with that and then exaggerated and twisted this around, and they started running stories that said vaccines declared safe or virtually no side effects. Clean bill of health for all vaccines, says the Institute of Medicine. And this went on and on throughout the weekend and even throughout part of today across the mainstream media. And upon seeing this, I looked at the story and said, wait a minute here. Let's read the report, first of all, from the Institute of Medicine. And then let's ask, where does the IOM get its money? So that led me to a whole three-day project of researching and writing about this. And that's the story that's published on Natural News right now. And that's what led to the shocking revelations that we're going to talk about here.
Yeah, and the whitewash of their own reporting on this in the media, you'd think that they say, vaccines found in Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth. I mean, it's the new rocket fuel to get us to the stars. I mean, it is amazing how much they overlook that which a sixth grader research in this project could end up finding, and not too difficulty.
It's incredible. And let me clue you in on a couple of things too that I found new since after the interview I did with you on Sunday.
Yes.
Some new revelations came out. Now, as you know, we dug into the military ties with the Institute of Medicine, and we've documented how it receives funding from the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, how HHS is a sort of a paramilitary organization with a military emblem,
yes,
and military symbols and all of these things. Well, it turns out that the Institute of Medicine, immediately following the 9/11 attacks in 2001, used those attacks as a springboard to issue a declaration that the nation is unprepared, doesn't have enough vaccines, and needs to launch what it called a National Vaccine Authority, an NVA. And it said that the NVA, this authority, should be a government-run vaccine company, and that it should produce vaccines
Wow.
and set vaccine policy. And this was all based on terrorism, which, as we know, was, of course, a complete false flag attack.
Yeah, fabricated. Anyway. And of course, we've also covered the story of the government, Obama, saying we need to start a new drug research facility out west because there's not enough new drugs in the pipeline. So this all comes down to these connections that are being found. But we talked yesterday about the militarization of the entire vaccine and drug complex.
Yes. Let me give you an example of that. In this report, Vaccine Adverse Reactions, before the Institute of Medicine published it, it allowed about 8 different organizations to review it before publication. 2 of those organizations were, number one, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which, as we know, advocates vaccines for population reduction. That's on the record. That's not conjecture. The second organization I'm going to mention here is that they allowed Northrop Grumman, a military weapons contractor and cybersecurity info warfare company, to review this report. Now, who is Northrop Grumman? Well, this is a company that was caught by the U.S. State Department leaking code, computer code, from the computers on Air Force One to the Russians in the 1980s. This is a company that was found caught in illegal international arms trafficking by the State Department. Okay, this is all on the record. This is a company that then received a $5 billion grant from the CDC to develop vaccine promoting and infectious disease tracking cybersecurity information technology systems that we have yet to see rolled out. So we don't even know where this is going, but this company, this military contractor, weapons manufacturer, is deeply involved with the Institute of Medicine and the vaccine agenda, which is really a global plot involving dozens of countries, all the big multinational corporations, all the major governments, and many nonprofits as well.
You know, Mike, as bad as I feel about, or you know, how I feel about vaccines based on my training as a homeopath, et cetera, and my own experience with them as a child, you know, I would always give people a little bit of distance in the sense and comfort to say, okay, I know you know, have a good feeling about these things. You have a perspective that's different than mine. But what's being revealed here is so sinister that you can't give quarter to anybody that is advocating vaccines once you read this. And it gets me, and not only that, the IOM claims and the government claims they get no direct funding from the government. You've blown that out of the water. That doesn't, I mean, they can't claim that for a second longer.
Well, yeah, that's an outright deception on the part of the IOM. They claim they receive no direct government funding. Well, okay, technically maybe it's not direct. Instead, it's funneled through the Department of Defense and Homeland Security.
CDC, HHS. I mean,
even the Social Security Administration.
So Social Security, the one that's bankrupt because it's not put money aside for people that want it later. And they're put, you know, is there any reason why we are supporting Ron Paul here? He's been talking about these things forever.
Yeah, well, what we're uncovering here is really a web of military agendas involved in vaccines. I mean, this, as you go down this rabbit hole, it gets increasingly bizarre. For example, you start looking at the CDC, which gave this grant money to Northrop Grumman, the weapons company, and the CDC, one of its top scientists, Paul Thorson, was recently indicted by a federal grand jury in Atlanta for money laundering. And what money was he allegedly laundering? grant money that the CDC was granting to a university for vaccine research. So, you know, and of course, that was at a time when the president of the CDC was none other than Julie Gerberding.
Right.
Who, as you have talked about, then became Merck's top global president of their global vaccine division.
That's right. Yeah, these connections are all connected. You want to talk about incestual relationships. And it's really horrific. I imagine they're doing strange blood sacrifice rituals behind closed doors. Listen, we got to take a break here. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, is here breaking the story large that just released at midnight on the IOM study, the links to so many of the defense contractors. And we'll link this also to a global attempt, as we said, to militarize the entire vaccine industry around planet Earth. This isn't only a U.S. thing, but it's going to affect us here if we're not careful. In fact, it already has. Stay with us. Mike Adams continues here on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the Natural Health Community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1216.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Mike Adams continues with me here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Advanced Medicine Monday. A little later, Dr. Bitar and I are going to discuss this vaccine revelation and the many revelations even further But, Mike, this story is breaking. I know you're going on Alex Jones a little later today as well. And the things that are coming out here, what they mean or what they should mean to anybody that was on the fence about vaccines, I think no longer can you straddle.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, even if you don't believe all this military history and background behind the IOM, but I assure you it's all true. It's all documented. But even if you don't even consider that, if you just look at, does this institute have the credibility to talk independently about vaccines? And the answer is absolutely not. It receives literally millions, if not tens of millions of dollars a year in funding from all the top vaccine companies. And even it even receives money from companies like PepsiCo, which is a bizarre thing. I mean, this organization takes money from Monsanto and McDonald's and health insurance companies like Kaiser Permanente. But in terms of conflicts of interest, it's taking money from the CDC and all the large vaccine manufacturers. And just to give you an idea of, you know, we talked about the incestual relationship of all the various organizations behind this. Check this out. One of the more prominent members of the Institute of Medicine is also a board member from PepsiCo. And he's a conventional doctor named Victor Zhao. And Victor also sits on the board of two pharmaceutical companies and one medical device manufacturer named Medtronic. And Medtronic, of course, was sued for Medicare fraud by 22 states that said it was unlawfully promoting its medical devices.
Mm-hmm.
But Genzyme Corporation is owned now by none other than Sanofi Aventis, the vaccine manufacturer that sold the U.S. government $192 million worth of, quote, pandemic stockpile vaccines just in the fourth quarter or the second quarter of 2008 for the H5N1 swine flu scare.
Right. Remember that. This was something we covered so extensively about the scam that it was while it was going on. We didn't wait around. We knew what was happening.
But yeah, we did.
But to see the conflicts of interest, the economic interest, and we can go back to all the quackbusters that have been around, you know, trashing anybody who questions vaccines and these things. And I bet that if we start digging deep enough, we'll also find the payoffs there as well. These are all economics. They're lifeblood. They're financing. All of it comes from the vaccine money, which is drug money and blood money.
Well, the ties of all the people who are these vaccine pushers, the ties are so strong. You know, essentially, Robert, after researching, not just for this story, but many other stories, I've come to the conclusion that we're dealing with just out-and-out mob-style criminals. These are people who commit crimes against humanity. They are unindicted criminals. Well, many of them are indicted for other crimes they've committed.
Yes,
but they all, frankly, we need to make mass arrests of basically all of these vaccine pushers. We need to have them all stand trial. We need to see them all put in prison if possible, if they're found guilty, because they are committing mass crimes against the public, and it is a web of corruption and criminality that we're exposing here.
Well, we've come back to the Bill and Melinda Gates issue. Gates is on the record, as you've referenced in this article as well, of saying if we could just vaccinate everybody, population would be reduced. There are, you know, basically scientific organizations that believe in population reduction by almost any means. They're on the record saying some horrific things as well. And those that are left behind that are still alive via vaccine-induced diseases are then becoming, again, the next generation's lifeblood of dependence and money that flows back into the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
Yeah, it's all a big web of profit-seeking because they know. Well, for example, many of the members of the Institute of Medicine sit on boards of other pharmaceutical companies that make drugs that treat things like kidney disease. Mm. Now, kidney disease is, of course, caused by vaccines. It's one of the most common organ failures. So what you see is that vaccines are being pushed out there to actually make people sick so that they need the drugs sold by these companies run by the people who work for the IOM or who give money to the IOM. I mean, this is such an evil circle of deception that, I mean, to call it scientific is just outrageous. It has nothing to do with science.
Sure, and many of these so-called scientists know what they're doing, and they do it by, you know, shutting down, taking drugs to blind themselves to their I don't say their allegiance, but their criminal behavior. I mean, I look back. I just even yesterday I had Liam Sheff, my good friend, the conspiracy realist. He had family members that were participating in the production and development of the Sabin polio vaccine, the live vaccine. And at the time, they were looking and recruiting these people to be, you know, patriotic Americans to move science forward. And it's like he wouldn't let their own children to partake in this because they knew of the danger. And it's unconscionable and it is criminal and it is not too strong to say that.
No, and really, I think what this is leading us toward is we're starting to uncover more details about the vaccine agenda. For example, the IOM published a document right after 9/11 that talked about the Children's Vaccine Initiative. They called it Achieving the Vision, and it's an international endeavor to ensure that all the children around the world are immunized. This was one of its key publications and key points. And this is at the same time that it promoted this idea of a national vaccine authority. Mm. Now, you got to keep in mind that this is all in the context of the existence of the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is really the U.S. government's way of saying you can't sue vaccine companies even though their products are killing you. I mean, if vaccines were safe, they wouldn't need to immunize the vaccine makers against lawsuits, would they?
Exactly. Shielding them from liability. No other industry gets that kind of protection. If you kill somebody, that's all right. You can stay on the market, and we won't even allow anybody to sue you. We'll get this fund that is added to the cost. The taxpayers will pay for it. And, you know, they'll have to go to a vaccine court. We've covered this kangaroo court as well. We covered Andrew Wakefield after this big report that came out as well more recently this year, about the fact that people were being paid off, if you will, or compensated for the injured children that even had autism.
Yeah, that's right. They admitted that vaccines do cause autism through those payouts, but then the mainstream media tries to say that they don't. Hmm. Now, just on the scientific side of this, what's interesting about this Institute of Medicine report is that all 12,000 studies they looked at came from the corrupt medical journals, which are funded by the drug companies and the vaccine makers. So, you know, it's a closed
shop there.
Well, of course. I mean, it's like asking the criminal to turn over evidence of the crime. They're not going to give you the evidence that they committed a crime. They're going to give you some falsified, fabricated evidence, which is exactly what the IOM got. Now, they did not interview a single parent of an autistic child in this entire research. They didn't evaluate a single child who has autism. They did absolutely no field research whatsoever, which Dr. Andrew Wakefield did, for which he was widely condemned and criticized. Instead, the IOM just did basically a paper chase, and they trusted the medical journals, which, as we have shown, are engaged in fraud through the ghostwriting, publishing articles that have been ghostwritten by the drug companies themselves.
Yes, that's right. What do we expect they're going to write? And of course, you'll turn over evidence if you're turning it over to your buddies in crime, because you know they're going to reveal only a little shred that keeps everybody looking pretty innocent.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly it. So if you look at what's going on here, what we're headed toward is a militarization of immunization, or what I call the medical military complex. You know, the term the military industrial complex. Well, now it's the medical military industrial complex. And we are seeing the militarization of the FDA through its raids, its armed raids, its use of force against innocent people. We've seen cases where forced immunizations were conducted at gunpoint in Maryland with attack dogs standing guard outside the courthouse as they rounded up the parents and threatened them with imprisonment.
Mm.
We've seen cases where children, such as the child of Marianne God Boldo, suffered side effects from vaccines and then was kidnapped by state officials, and the mom was threatened at gunpoint and was subjected to a SWAT team raid and so on.
Yeah.
So, we're seeing more and more signs of the militarization of vaccine policy, and that explains exactly why they have military contractors involved in this and why Department of Homeland Security is funding this institute.
It really is stunning, but it ties into the picture that we've been painting for a long time, in that your participation with the government, your involvement with the government, if you ask permission of the government for anything, that it ties you in, contracts of adhesion for which you may not be aware, that they basically encroach upon the family, and you don't realize, well, how is it that they can do this? And that's some of the things that we'll cover, but the old media will never touch, and they write it off as wild conspiracy theories when we're the ones digging up and revealing the facts.
Well, it's astonishing, yeah. The old media, I'm not sure that there's a journalist left alive in the entire old media. I mean, all the real journalists that I know are all in the alternative press. Mm. The old media, or what Gerald Celente calls the prestitutes,
yes,
all they really do is swallow and then vomit back up the same disinfo that they're spoon-fed by corporate interests and government authorities. They ask no questions. They don't follow the money anymore, because you should follow the money on a story like this, as I did.
Yes.
And because the money leads you to some really bizarre places. And they don't even question any, quote, official source anymore. It's as if they just believe everything they're told by government. Well, what if government is the one plotting against you?
Right.
As we've seen over and over again. And that's why it's crucial that the alternative press, of which you are a prominent member, of course, continues to cover this issue, this topic, and brings these questions to light. That's our job. That's our responsibility as honest, skeptical investigators of reality, is to ask these questions and be a little pushy.
Yes.
And dig for the answers.
Well, it used to be that the press were annoying. I mean, they would ask questions. You're like, leave me alone, kid. Get out of here. I don't want to answer that. You know, and now it's sort of like they're accepting anything given to them. Just like you said, the prostitutes know who their Johns are. They follow the money. Their money dries up. And that's why they don't follow the money.
Yeah, exactly right. And I couldn't believe it. When I looked at the mainstream media coverage of this story, virtually every headline I saw was a complete lie. Mm. It was almost reporting the exact opposite of the findings. And the findings, even then, the findings were distorted.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go into that distortion a little bit after this break as well. And also, you know, as we always do, leave it some level of positivity of what we can do. Can we unplug from this vaccine matrix? What can we do? Mike Adams, my guest, the Health Ranger, here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as we kick off another wonderful week of healing in media like nowhere else. And we're going to be coming right back after this. Say thanks to our sponsors.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Wrapping up the first hour of Advanced Medicine Monday here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Dr. Bittar will join me a little bit later. We'll talk more about these vaccines from a physiological and medical standpoint. But, Mike, you've done another sensational job. I don't need to tell you that. It's just an amazing thing what's coming out here, helping people to see through these lies. And you mentioned distortions as well. You know, also, how can we navigate? Will the media cover this? Will they ignore it? Will they have to? Or can they spin it in any way? And if so, how can we be prepared to respond?
Well, before I answer that, let me get to something you hinted at there. The research on this, no one person could have pulled together all this research in one weekend and written this story as I did. This, I owe thanks to our Facebook fans. On Friday, I put out a call for open source research. I said, look, all of our fans out there, and we've got, I don't know, 150,000 or something fans, 130,000 on Facebook.
Sensational.
Yeah, and they went to work. I said, look, I'm working on the story. What can you find? And they started sending over link after link after link. And I spent most of the day Saturday just going through the links and incorporating that into the story, and then finding ways to confirm the information. And so that's how I was able to do this story by Sunday night. I mean, this is an open source volunteer research effort of freedom fighters.
Incredible.
Okay, we're talking about. Join the Rebel Alliance, man.
Yeah, this is really amazing. You just put out a plea, and now you have instantly thousands of people that are out there scouring the world to gather information. This is no time in history has there been an ability to do this.
Well, exactly, and government can't fight this. Because for government to have 1,000 people doing research, they'd have to launch a whole new department and hire everybody and have them past security measures,
funding,
batches and desks and everything. Where all I got to do is post something on Facebook, and because people believe in this mission, Robert, because they believe in what we're doing, and they want to be free, and they want to be informed, and they want to counter the disinformation out there, they volunteered their time and their expertise to find this information and get it to me. And my job then is to just put it together, which is what I did. But again, the credit goes to the whole community of freedom fighters. And info warriors, if you will, the rebels out there who are fed up with this militarization of vaccine policy and healthcare in the U.S.
Yeah, we continue with the theme, of course, of wanting peaceful revolution, realizing that they're making it very difficult on one level to have anything peaceful occur. Yet at the same time, we know there are ways, whether we understand Sun Tzu's art of war, there are ways to be effective and efficient in our strategy in taking this information and making the most and the best out of it so fewer people are harmed or even killed by this. But more and more what we want to see is less and less power that those entities have over all of us.
Well, that's exactly it. We want to see power restored to the people under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, of course. We need less centralized dominant power and more decentralized power in the hands of the people and in the hands of local jurisdictions such as the states and cities. And this is especially true in healthcare and food freedom, where we need to allow people to have the freedom of choice. You know, you and I, we don't go around and say that we should use guns to, for example, prevent people from taking vaccines.
Right. Yeah, that's not what we've argued ever.
No, we say it's your choice. You know, if you want to kill yourself with a vaccine, or be infertile, go ahead. In fact, if you believe in vaccines, take more.
Double down, right.
You know, your kind probably isn't really good for the future of the human race. But for those who choose not to take the vaccines, we want to protect their rights to say, hey, I would prefer to use vitamin D or immune-boosting therapies or some other method of protecting myself from infectious disease that doesn't involve being injected with aluminum and polysorbate and thimerosal and DNA fragments from diseased animals.
Exactly.
You know, it's a choice issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, in restoring those choices again, people, you know, once again, we get to a level of really deep level matrixy understanding. is at how deeply plugged in we are, how entrenched, how adhesed, if we were glued down to this thing. And people are realizing it and starting to sever those ties. We talk about declarations of independence. It isn't just a country that does that or a group of people. I mean, it's everybody on many levels having to recognize that, as I end the show every day, the power to heal is yours. And it really is, but we've got to unplug the power drains from us at the same time.
Well, that's exactly it. And we've got to learn to have the courage to stand up for our rights and our freedoms. And that's ultimately what this is all about. The reason that I work so hard to expose this information, and I think you do too, is because we want people to know how hard the government is working to take away your freedom and thereby motivate you to stand up for your freedom. Because if the government's working that hard to take it away, that it must be very valuable to them to take it away from you. Why does the government hate freedom so much? Mm. Why does the medical establishment hate people having the freedom of choice?
Competition, even.
Well, exactly. I mean, why is it so important to them to involve military weapons contractors to work on their vaccine agendas? You know, you got to really ask yourself that question. And when you get to that level of understanding of the way the system really works, then you realize just how special America really is, the freedoms that we still have, the potential we have to take charge of our own lives, and why it is absolutely crucial that we all become activists right now and help defend the freedoms that we still have left.
Yeah. I never have heard of the homeopaths calling for M16 enforcement of their constitutional remedies. I mean, you know, we're talking, again, freedom. We don't need the freedom. We don't need monopoly. And I think anybody that needs monopoly, it tells me about their worthiness. They have none.
Well, that's it. I mean, what kind of a system of medicine is so bad that it has to be enforced at gunpoint? Mm. Well, that's vaccines.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so dangerous and so harmful. They kill so many children that they have to actually force people at gunpoint to take the vaccines. You know, that's not medicine, all right? That's not serving the public good. That's not compassion for life. That is an evil domination. That is a medical enslavement of the people, and that's got to stop. And that's why I do what I do, because I believe in freedom.
Yes.
Liberty, and that includes medical freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, that's why, you know, there are so many things and so many angles to this story that are going to be evolving and developing even after this explosive report. And again, hats off to you and all the Facebook support that you've gotten here. The friends also here at the Robert Scott Bell Show, I know some have thrown their hat into the ring, too, to help out. And I'm grateful for everybody's efforts here. But look at what we're doing in exposing things that were never able to be exposed in the past. And they're going to be scurrying like cockroaches eventually. We know initially, though, they may try to lash back and fight back. And I want everybody to be prepared and recognize that whether it be done through the pen or the sword, to be able to defend themselves.
Well, these organizations, the IOM and the FDA and the HHS and so on, they realize their best strategy is to completely ignore natural news and to ignore your radio show and just pretend we don't exist, because the truth is 99 out of 100 people don't read us. I mean, we reach millions of people, but there are billions of people on this planet.
Yeah.
And most of those people are controlled by the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as the mainstream media keeps telling these lies, most people will believe it. So the truth is, if you're listening to this, you're part of a very small, empowered minority of people who are informed in a way that most people are not. And my hope and my prayer is that those of you in that realm of awareness are going to be the survivors and help shape the future civilizations on our planet that will rise out of the ashes of the collapse that we know is coming, and that future civilization must be based on a foundation of liberties and freedoms that specifically set out freedoms of medicine and food.
Yes.
And that's why I do what I do today, Robert. I'm not trying to save today's population. I am trying to save tomorrow's leaders, keep them alive and keep them informed so they can shape policy down the road.
Hallelujah. I just want to say that. Listen, Mike, I'm so grateful that you joined me here to kick off this week. on the Robert Scott Bell Show as well. And I've got all the links up, including to the new article, which I'm sure if you're listening now, you've already seen on Natural News. Keep up with that. And as well, we encourage you always to tell your friend, forward it, link to it, whatever you can. This is the stuff that's changing the world for the better. As we said, if it's not for us, it's certainly for those yet to come or our kids that are out there, and we're fighting for them. Mike, appreciate it very much. We've got lots more healing to do on Advanced Medicine Monday. And, of course, you know how we end every hour here, don't you, Mike?
Yeah, the power to heal is yours.
I am honored that you would say it. We'll be right back after the news with Dr. Rashi Bitar as well. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Robert. Take care.
While Mike goes over to Alex Jones' show next, we're going to prepare for Dr. Rashi Bitar and more advanced medicine on vaccinations after this break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole, and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just came out of the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Advanced Medicine Monday continues this hour. My good friend Dr. Rashi Bitar is back in, and we're doing some definite advanced medicine, building on what Mike Adams has revealed in his report about the IOM and the horrible or horrific revelations about the conflicts of interest, economic or otherwise, and really diabolical plots, Dr. Bitar. You know, we've talked, of course, about vaccinations many times. And by the way, I believe we're really making history here with these Monday sessions you and I conduct, because we're getting information that just doesn't get revealed. You know, people normally are used to going to seminars and paying big bucks for this stuff. And we're able to, thank God, get this information out there. It's so desperately needed. And on top of what we're going to go with vaccines today. So I should say, once again, thank you for being on board and helping make this possible.
Well, Robert, we do what we can, and this is something that I wouldn't miss for the world. It does sound, you know, strange that we have talked about this so many times. So when it's breaking news, it's sometimes hard to get excited about the breaking news, because it's almost like, you know, the visceral response is, tell me something that I don't know.
Right, yeah.
But well, it is interesting what's happening right now with the Institute of Medicine, especially the evidence now that the mainstream media is not even attempting to do a reasonable job giving the basic facts the way they should be presented. I mean, it seems like that I always thought the Institute of Medicine was the quote dark side, and even though their report comes out and states that they acknowledge some of these issues that have been issues and don't even try to necessarily cover it up per se, but the media gives it a total spin and totally changes the flavor of what the message is.
Well, if we talk about journalism 101, you think that the first thing that they would teach you as a journalist is to ask questions. Just ask questions. And it's the one thing they don't do in anything that they do. I mean, all they need, one question would lead to 100 others and get right to the heart of a sixth grader could read this report and go, wait a second, what about this? And what about this? But the headline says, doesn't cause autism. And of course, you know firsthand, not only from your son, but hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of others that have, you know, connected with you or through seminars and such, or being direct patients, you know for firsthand fact that these vaccines are causing this.
And the strange thing is that, you know, why would the media, I mean, okay, you know, you can see the Institute of Medicine and the medical hierarchy wanting to keep this hidden, like what we've always, you know, said and suspected.
Yes.
Because they don't want to lose their autonomy. They don't want to lose their prestige. They don't want to lose their high status as the, you know, protectors of scientific evidence-based medicine, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all the ego-centric type components that the medical community would want to make sure they suppress this information. But then when you start looking at how the media has even put the spin on this, where they've admitted it, now you have to start asking yourself, this is what you and I have talked about before, you know, yeah. The difference between good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how else to – it sounds almost – when I hear myself say those words, it sounds silly, and yet there is no other more accurate way of describing this. This is purely good versus evil. And then somebody is that sinister to put that type of information. I mean, for God's sake, this is each child. The economic burden is $8.3 million over the lifetime of a child that suffers from autism. And when you look at the incidence of autism going from 1 in 10,000 since 1991, and then they initiated what they call the National Vaccine Initiative, that no child would be suffering from a childhood disease that could be preventable through a vaccine, which was started in 1991, and now the incidence of autism has gone from that 1 in 10,000 to 20 years later, 1 in 60 or 70, somewhere in that range, depending on which state you're talking about, whether you're talking about boys or girls.
Hmm.
You know, this is something that this the economic burden of itself is in the multi-billions.
Yeah, well, you've raised a very important issue in addition to the human issue, the human toll, because this also plays on the human toll, the inability to care for people that and children that are harmed in this way to create autism. You mentioned something back in the early 90s. Mike Adams just revealed in the report since 9/11, they developed this national vaccine authority to increase even more on what they did before. Never mind the cost in human terms. Look at the causes, you said, in the economic enslavement of people. And there's just already, we know there's no money to pay for this. How do they expect this will be handled in the future?
And so what could be the agenda? What could be the motivation of a media whose fundamental function is to present two sides of the argument and allow people to get information and come up with their own conclusions based upon the information that they present? What could be the possible agenda of an organization that has that as their mandate and yet intentionally mutilates that information and distorts it into such an inaccurate enigma? I mean, I just don't understand. If you can't put the evil there,
yeah,
then what other word could you put there?
Yeah, well, nothing else would explain it. I mean, you could say, oh, high-level ignorance. But, I mean, at the level with which you can no longer be ignorant of these things.
You could. I mean, even ignorance even has its bounds. And this exceeds those bounds.
Mm.
You know, it's just something very, very sinister. It's, you know, you start thinking about, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and you know that, but yet this is so blatant, you can't even call it a conspiracy. I mean, this is truly human population control.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that, I don't know whether that's human population control or just dumb down the population or control people or distract them by giving them something that, you know, they're agonizing about because their child's suffering or their niece or nephew's suffering or the grandchild's suffering. And so, you know, this create the distraction so that then you can continue your own agenda, whatever it is. I don't know what the agenda is. All I know is that the only way to categorize this is pure, unadulterated evil.
Mm.
And it has to be dealt with. And the only way it can be dealt with is by what you are doing, Robert, which is making people aware. Because I have said this for the last decade, if not longer,
yes,
that if the general population were aware of the facts, were aware of what has happened, that the parties, that the entities that were appointed to guard our future generations, to make sure that they were protected through the preventive health aspects and through the nutritional and vaccines and all these other things, the people that were appointed to guard our future generations were inept, they were obsolete, they fell asleep at the wheel, and this is enough. I mean, you can mess with a lot of different things. You can mess with a person's car, with their with their, you know, property, with their money, with their office, you know, even with their wives, but you don't mess with somebody's children.
Yeah.
This is enough to cause the next civil war. I mean, I would not hesitate to take arms to protect my child. And name me one parent in this country that would not pick up arms to protect their child, unless, of course, it was somebody that, you know, abused their children anyway.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a whole thing. But you're right. Abusive children. This is a dangerous cult, if you will. And we talk about it in terms of scientism, not science. And we talk in terms of conspiracy reality here. We definitely have that thematic element to get beyond the theory. This is no longer a theory. As Mike Adams revealed in his report on the funding of the Institute of Medicine, you've got major defense contractors, Northrop Grumman, $5 billion they're receiving to promote some of these things and agendas of vaccinating the world's population. And they're not just working here in the U.S. Some of these, HHS, which is the FDA, the head of the FDA, Margaret Maggie Hamburglar, I call her, the Hamburg. She also has donated directly to the IOM. I mean, there are so many conflicts of interest, economic and otherwise, here that these people should be taken out and arrested and tried.
Without a doubt. And we're not talking about a conspiracy against, medicine or the natural health industry or against doctors. We're not talking about even a conspiracy against certain sections of the population. We're talking about a conspiracy against humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that makes Hitler look like a nice guy.
You know, it pains me to say it and think it, but you're right. As we've said, in the guise of helping you, this is where it becomes so sinister beyond sinister, because you served in the armed forces, Dr. Pitaro. We've talked about some of the stories that you've had there. We know what the military is for. There's no illusion about it, although some people may be deluded about what we're doing around the world right now. But we know what the military-industrial complex is for. There is the mystery, so to speak, when we talk about the medical side of things, because they sell themselves from a PR perspective as the ones that are helpful. They're here to save you, protect you, reverse disease, etc. The immunization vaccination, we should call it, because we don't like the word immunize. It's not true with what they do. But the whole vaccine complex, it's here to protect you. If you question it, you're somehow for disease. I mean, it's bizarre. And that makes it even more sinister, because you can't say that they were upfront about anything they were doing.
You're absolutely right, Robert. This is like the mob even having its own code of ethics. You know, these people have no code of ethics. I mean, this is exactly – you're absolutely right, because at least with the military complex, you know what their agenda is. They state it. It's upfront. But this, you know, to subversively come – I mean, look what they did with Frontline and PBS when they talked about the vaccine aspect. And they pitted they never had a single physician talk about the negative aspects of vaccines. And they interviewed me and two other physicians, but they never had us on there. They showed me, of all three physicians, they only showed me, and it was like a webcam little distance shot, of me. And they interviewed me for 7 freaking hours.
Mm.
They had I turned them down 3 different times, and the only time I finally allowed them to go ahead and come to our office and videotape, and they sent the videotaping crew from Washington State, and another party came from Washington, D.C. or New York area, I don't remember. But when they came, I insisted, and the deal was that if you want to interview me, then you must talk to 3 of my patients.
Hmm.
And they selected the 3 patients. We gave them 6 or 7 different people. They selected 3. They taped them for 3 hours, and they taped me for 6.5, almost 7 hours. They were there for over 10 hours in my office filming. And what did they show on PBS? They showed something that they captured from the web, and it looks like a hidden camera that shows me talking. I think it was to do with Desiree's case or something like that.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we should reiterate, Desiree Jennings was the Washington Redskins cheerleader who got a flu vaccine and went dystonic. I don't want to reiterate that completely, but that was a worldwide story we had broken together. And really, you can go back and listen, do a Google search on Robert Scott Bell, Dr. Rashid Pitaro, Desiree Jennings. You'll be up to speed on that. But as you said, they tried to do something weird with the video and audio with that piece.
Yeah, well, we have over 100 hours of footage documented from that particular case because, as you know, she was having 60, 70 seizures an hour. By the time she got to us, she was having periods of, 30 to 45 seconds of anoxia, and she was going to respiratory failure. And, her final diagnosis, from my perspective, and what we were able to reverse within 72 hours and stabilize her, was acute encephalopathy, viral encephalopathy, you know, secondary to the inoculation that you received from the attenuated virus, and mercury toxicity. So she had a double hit from the same issue.
And by the way, the IOM report acknowledges some of these symptoms right in their report.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, it was something that, again, not to beat a dead horse, but like I said in the beginning, you know, tell me something I don't know. you and I both know this already, so they really don't have a choice now. I mean, the number of cases of miscarriage that took place from the, you know, from the H1N1 shot. I mean, over 3,000 documented cases, and they encourage women to get this. Saying that there was no issue.
Now the HPV, we call it the hocus pocus vaccine, and that's being too kind. Based on faulty science to begin with. And you know, these are the things, like I said, we're making history here, Dr. Batar, revealing this in ways that the old media couldn't even consider. If they did, they'd hurt themselves and they'd have to come see us for help. So we got to keep it going. Listen, we're going to take a break here. Special edition of the Advanced Medicine Monday here with Dr. Rasha Batar on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Quite amazing stories that are breaking, things we've already known and covered a lot of ways, but more of the pieces are coming together so more of the people can wake up and see the reality so we can help them through it. So stay with us. Lots more with Dr. Rasha Batar. Remember, robertscottbell.com. I have the links up to all of the wonderful things, including his wonderful book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, and more. We'll be right back after this.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Batar, I'm always amazed by how much, you know, we have covered over the years together, and we go way back now thinking about it, and how much now the stories are catching up to the things we've been discussing. And not everybody really got it before, but with each new revelation, more and more people are coming on board and going, dude, you were right. I thought you were weird. And how many people now go, hey, Dr. Batar, you're all right.
I had somebody say about 3 years ago, three, maybe 4 years ago, said, how does it feel to be vindicated? Hmm. And I said, vindicated? And they said, yeah, you know, all the stuff you've been saying for the last decade now, you know, more and more people have come to see the truth and it's come to fruition, everything that you've said. And, you know, how does it feel to be vindicated? And I couldn't help but, I guess I was being a little facetious, but I said, look, the day that I got my son back, I was vindicated. Then after that, it's all gravy.
Yeah.
I just am fulfilling a promise that I made, and that is that I would never shut up. So there's no reason for me to be feel vindicated. There's nothing to be vindicated or feel vindicated about. It's something that each day that our message is not heard by everyone, somebody's suffering, and unfortunately, that someone is not just one or two or a thousand or 10,000, it's hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, are still suffering. And especially the people in the third world countries that are, again, being pummeled with these vaccines that
targeted,
are supposedly being given to them to prevent them from getting these diseases. And, where just give them some food, for God's sake. Give them clean water. Give them a source of energy. You know, they don't need to be vaccinated. That's not what the problem is.
Yeah.
And we're just essentially slaughtering these people.
I covered a story yesterday on my Sunday show, and this was about the drug industry really targeting, we've talked about this term therapy naive, but they're really going after the East Indian population out there in India, a billion more people that they could put on drugs, and they're talking about these drug reps going out, visiting doctors, many of them, lining up for 1 minute at a time with the doctors. I mean, stuff we've read about for years here that, now the awareness is being raised about it, but over there it's just now starting. And these people are making X number of rupees. They said it's like less than $200 a month, these drug reps. So it's very cheap marketing for the pharmaceutical industrial complex to try to convince the Indian population that the only thing they've been missing are these drugs and these vaccines. And it's wholesale slaughter of said it, hundreds of thousands of millions of people.
And see, the thing is that other countries, what we don't seem to realize is other countries, when you say that this is American medicine, they have the impression of American medicine 30 to 40 years ago when it was a top. It was number one in the world. And right now we are like 34th or 36th in the standard of healthcare in the world.
Yeah.
But people have this connotation that's American medicine. And forget about the fact that the vast majority of Americans are already seeking other forms of what they call alternative medicine. They're searching for Ayurvedic therapies and homeopathic therapies and other types of acupuncture and chiropractic and all these other types of non-traditional modalities. And yet these people that come from a strong Ayurvedic background are seeking American therapies because the connotation is that this is superior, it's Western, it's rich, it's this, it's that, it's roads lined with gold place where this is where it was developed. This is the connotation that America has in the other countries, and especially the third world countries, and they use that. They manipulate that concept, that belief system, to get these people to feed on this bandwagon that is all ordaining the use of pharmaceutical substances.
Mm. Yeah, and it really is. It's sad to me. Again, I love the land of liberty and what it stood for, and of course there are people that are trying to revitalize it, salvage it. And, we hold out the hope and the activity. We don't just sit blindly and say, oh, we hope one day it gets better. I mean, we're literally participating in creating that new realm, new America, if the America is going to change because of the abandonment of liberty, and that means health liberty, health freedom as well, that there will be a consciousness shift that will allow that freedom to be restored. And we talk in terms of freedom, recognizing that it takes great responsibility. There are still many naive Americans that are arguing for various forms of socialism and other totalitarianism and covering everything for everybody or so, that don't realize that when we argue for freedom, we're arguing for also self-responsibility, because they go hand in hand.
Absolutely. I mean, self-responsibility, where is where it's at. I mean, without any other intervention, if people were just taking responsibility for their own health care, which is the recurrent message that we've always had here, Robert, that my clinic has always said, people got to take responsibility for their own health care. That, if a person says, well, I'm going to put 85% effort forward to stop smoking cigarettes, but, we talked about that. Okay, then I'll give you 85% of my effort.
Yeah.
If people start putting forward their own effort, and I think people are getting there now. People are becoming more responsible. They just need to be educated. They have had a lifetime of programming to take a drug, to take this thing, to take that thing for a simple ailment, to cover up the symptom, not to address the root causation factor, but to address the symptom itself. It has been a propaganda machine that has been going on before we were born. It's been continuously increasing, and especially in the last 20 years, you know, with the cholesterol drug, the cholesterol levels where a person needs intervention with anti-hyperlipidemics, with the statin drugs, that level being dropped, or blood pressure medication being prescribed when blood pressure is, you know, when I was graduating from medical school, the blood pressure of 125, 130 over 75 was fine. Now if your blood pressure doesn't 120 over 75, you got to get blood pressure medication. There's this statin drugs, you know, it used to be 250 cholesterol level, 250 or higher required some kind of statin intervention, which is totally preposterous, by the way, because I don't care what your cholesterol levels, you don't need any statin drug.
Exactly.
But then it drops down to 225, then 215, then 200, 175. Now it's like 150 to 175. You need a statin drug if your cholesterol is above that.
Well, no, the next step, Dr. Bitar, is do you have cholesterol in your body? Oh,
cholesterol is the most important substance within
the
system.
It's so vital.
Cholesterol is the precursor of all the sex hormones. It is vital for cell membrane integrity. Without cholesterol, our cells could not maintain their structure.
Yes.
Our entire cell membranes would dehisce and just be – we would be an organic
blob.
Mush is all we would be. We would not be able to maintain our integrity and our form the way we are without cholesterol. And so when a person – in fact, I'll just say this on the air. I haven't said this before, but my cholesterol level is way over 1,700.
Yeah. No, I remember you mentioning that once. I mean, it's like people were shocked. Their jaws hit the floor.
I didn't say that on the air.
Yeah. We talked about that. But again, it's good. It's worth reiterating, repeating, because as I've said – all of this, you know, talk about high cholesterol, they don't even know what it means because everybody's got different levels. They don't go back in history to find out. And, of course, we've also referenced the fact that people with higher cholesterol not only live longer, but they have higher levels of cognition well into old age and beyond.
Absolutely. In fact, cholesterol in a person, when they start developing this type of a cardiac condition, if you will, I believe it's a protective effort. That cholesterol increases as a hyper-responsive compensatory response in the body. That's what it's trying to do, trying to protect the body. I mean, all the studies that have been done now in the last probably 7 years indicate that people, they are more than half the people that have cardiovascular disease have normal cholesterol, and more than half the people that have high cholesterol have no cardiac disease. Mm-hmm. Look at bears. Bears have a normal baseline cholesterol between 600 and 700. Have you ever heard of a bear having a heart attack?
No, I've heard a lot of people that see a bear in the woods having a heart attack.
Well, exactly, but the bears aren't having the heart
no.
attack. This cholesterol thing was all based upon the Helsinki study, and it was actually looking specifically at triglyceride levels, and they have distorted the truth of that. In fact, one of the first things that they found in the Helsinki study basic research that was done with the statin drugs was that the one thing that the statin drugs do is they decrease ubiquinone, coenzyme Q10, which is essential for the mitochondria to function. Mitochondria is a respiratory organelle within the cells that allows eventually the production of adenosine triphosphate, which is an energy utilization block that we use inside our systems. And there was a consistent depletion of ubiquinone, of coenzyme Q10, in the people that were taking statin drugs. So the end result was that the recommendation to use statin drugs was in conjunction with the use of coenzyme Q10 supplementation. However, coenzyme Q10 was just as expensive, if not more expensive, to produce and to market compared to the statin drugs. So the drug companies just dropped that part of the study. They just dropped it. They just completely eliminated that recommendation from the basic science researchers, from the didactic researchers, and started marketing the drug by itself.
Incredible. It really is incredible. And, you know, to add to your point there about how necessary cholesterol is, people, you know, remember back at the Vietnam War, Vietnam police action, they brought back the 18, 19-year-olds in body bags, and they did a lot of autopsies. Remember the high rate?
It was the Korean War.
It was a Korean police action. That's it. Again, these were UN-sanctioned wars that were not real wars that were declared by, you know, constitutionally. Again, I have to bring that up because it's been a long time since we abandoned the Constitution here in America. But these things found high rates of advanced cardiovascular disease in young, almost children, you should say. Now, had they lived, because they were killed in the field of battle, they didn't die of heart attacks or coronary events. Had they lived, you know, thank God the cholesterol was there, because they would not live long enough to even survive to have a heart attack, because we know of the vascular inflammation, the corrosion or damage or cracks even within the vascular lining that would then be patched up to, you know, for survival's sake, and with the hopes that repair could take place, couldn't take place without cholesterol, and you would die internally of literal no symptom advance warnings. And so cholesterol is a life-saving mechanism that, yes, years later, you get calcification, not cholesterolification, but calcification of the arteries, etc. So, again, we come back to the vilification of something that God created, and that's man's arrogance.
Absolutely. In fact, in the Korean War, when they brought these young men back and they looked at, they did autopsies on the vascular trees, what they saw was that only one out of five actually had clean vascular tree. Two out of five, or essentially 40% of these, if I remember the numbers correctly, it was about 40% of this population that they saw in autopsy had mild to moderate atherosclerosis, and 40% had moderate to severe. And these are, like you said, they were all under the age of 25 because of the types of food and diet and the yeah. dietary intake that we had. That was the reason that they had this atherosclerosis developing. Only one out of five, or 20% of this population of American men under the age of 25 had a clean vascular tree. They've even done autopsies on children that have died in motor vehicle accidents, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, and they've on autopsy, they have seen the beginning of atherosclerosis developing at that point. Hmm. That is not anything to do with cholesterol. That is to do with the lifestyle, the type of foods, the sugars that are contained within the foods that they're eating. In fact, the recent cardiovascular studies have all shown that it is hyperinsulinemic response secondary to sugar that actually leads to cardiovascular disease and oncogenesis, the formation of cancer. It has all to do with the sugar aspect.
Well, yeah, and of course, at that time, we see more of the refined sugars entering the food supply in the mid-20th century, and it's only accelerated and worsened since then with more refined foods, more additives, colorings, preservatives, flavorings, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, now the added insult of genetic modifications. And we get into that level. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll get into that as well. And we talk about some of the genetic modifications backfiring on the world of Monsanto with this so-called BT engineered gene to kind of engineer a pesticide in. And it's not working as well as they thought. Nature always finds a way. You got Dr. Bitar in the house here on Advanced Medicine Monday on Robert Scott Bell Show. Check it out at robertscottbell.com. Also, I got links up to medicalrewind.com as well as his book, his wonderful book. I hope you get it, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. We've got lots more healing to do after this break. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. 219-1261 or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com, and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow-fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow-fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's
Scott,
a brave
Scott,
and a decent Scott, man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
It's always a great and interesting and fascinating time, occasionally intensely passionate, as Dr. Bitar brings it every week with Advanced Medicine Monday. And, of course, we encourage, Dr. Bitar encourages you as well, take advantage of the toll-free phone line that we have to give us a call at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, because there are many times you have questions that you could never ask your doctor, and maybe your doctor wouldn't even have a clue what to say. But, of course, with Dr. Bitar's vast knowledge, experience, and passion in all of these things, we can get some answers to you. And of course, we actually do have a call we're going to take momentarily. But we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, you can send me a Facebook message. You can email the show as well. And, of course, get us plugged into what's important to you as we move forward each Advanced Medicine Monday together with Dr. Bitar here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So are you up for taking a call here on the immune system?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see if we can take that call. I'll get Don to run it. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling from York, Maine, and my name is Anjali. And I was wondering if either you or your guest knew about mastocytosis and could give any helpful information on trying to cure this. It's a disease, it's a histamine disorder, and it can have any range of symptoms depending on who you are, but can be pretty debilitating, and in its rarest, turns into a blood leukemia. I would appreciate any information or helpful health tips that you could make on this, and thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, Anjali. Bye. Anjali, thank you so much for that. And Dr. Bitar, of course, this sounds like something that is familiar to us because of all the things you've written about in your book, some basic understandings of the immune system. We're talking about hyperhistaminic responses, mast cell interactions, skin lesions, other things like this. What do you think?
Yeah, it's actually, some people call it, commonly referred to as urticaria pigmentosa. Some people say it's different than that, but it's a very closely related component of urticaria pigmentosa. But essentially, this is the second foundation of health that we talk about, which is the immune modulation. So we never talk about stimulating the immune system because in some people, the problem is a hyperimmune response. And this is essentially one of those type of conditions, very similar to systemic lupus erythematosus or any of the other type of autoimmune conditions such as myasthenia gravis and such. You know, Robert, basically it comes back down to modulating the immune system and detoxifying. I wish it was more complicated than that, but really that's
yeah.
The first place that a person has to start. They have to detoxify, they have to modulate the immune system, and then they have to optimize the physiology. And, you know, it's the subject of the book that we talk, the Nine Steps book, but it's also the subject of the – or the basis of the fundamental – aspect of how we treat disease before we deal with any of the specific components of the disease by just doing those first three basic components and addressing those three fundamental components on an effective basis. Most of the conditions such as this start to, one, diminish and then eventually recede and they disappear. I've had patients, I've had three patients that I've treated with myasthenia gravis. All three, two out of the three were in wheelchairs when they came to us. Mm-hmm. All three are outside of that realm now. None of them are in wheelchairs. They're fully functional, productive members of society with full-time jobs, etc.
Yeah.
You know, when you start talking about ALS, that's a little bit, we've had more challenge with a condition like that, which is another example of a autoimmune type condition with a hyperimmune response, where the immune response starts to now attack the nervous system itself. But with something like this, with the urticaria pigmentosa type picture, with the mastocytosis type picture, or the myocytoma, that's another term that they use for that, or condition related to that, it's, I hate to say this, a relatively easy fix, but
yeah,
you just got to address the issue that's causing the hyperimmune response and negate it, and that's it.
Sometimes they'll say to me, Robert, not the liver again. Is that, you going to tell me about the liver? It's like, yes, every time you come to me. And of course, you know, the
basics. You're talking about detoxification, Robert. How can you, you know, this is a fundamental thing. It's like the oil filter. How can you say, oh, no, not the oil filter again? Of course, the oil filter. You're going to get a filter of the body. It's a filter of the system.
Yeah, but it is funny because so many diseases of the 20th and 21st century have become so complex, complicated. They utilize terms and descriptions that sound, you know, very foreign, and you need an expert to even say the name of these diseases. And then you come down to it, the same basic principles apply, sometimes times 10 when we're dealing with these autoimmune diseases, because there's such corruption of cellular integrity that the immune system often says, I don't even know what's me anymore, and we've really got to restore self to self. So it's not that you snap your fingers and it's done, but the methods, if you will, the pathway to health, they are very simple and they can be applied across the board. And success is happening not because these guys and gals get lucky, but because they apply the principles.
And there's going to be a varying response to the treatment result and how fast it happens, because some of these conditions it took years to acquire,
right?
And it's going to take a consistent approach, a consistent therapy to detoxify the system, because it's not just going to happen overnight. And, you know, it's a great point that you just brought up, Robert, about the strange names and that you need to have people having degrees just to be able to pronounce some of the names. My instructions to my patients are that if you've been diagnosed with a condition that has more than three words in it, essentially they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I had this young girl. She actually was a singer. She was a recording artist. She had, in fact, just been asked by – she had – during the Republican congressional nomination, when Bush was nominated the second time, she opened the Republican convention, and she was the one who sang the national anthem. I won't go into more details about her specifics as far as who she is, but you know, relatively well-known and up-and-coming country music singer. And she came to me with the diagnosis of idiopathic – demyelinating polyneuropathy. And I'll just say that we were able to, I referred her to another doctor after we stabilized her, and then she needed to have more treatments, obviously, and she only came to my clinic for a couple of days, and there was an article in the paper about 9 months later and how much better she was. And you know, she couldn't walk on her own when she came to us, and then she was able to start ambulating on her own within a few months. But she had the same thing, mercury, and she had lead and cadmium on board, and she had all sorts of different things. And, you know, I treated her the same way as I treated the myasthenia gravis person, as an MS patient, as some of these other patients. Yet the diagnosis is all different, but the fundamental causation factor is the same.
Right, right.
And that's what we have to remember, that we don't get these strange diseases because they are natural ways of acquiring these diseases. We get these diseases because man has created an environment that allows the propensity of these substances that we normally would not come into such direct contact. You know, yes, doesn't mercury occur naturally, Dr. Buttar, from the volcanic ashes that erupt and from the burning of the Congo fires that come across in the trade winds? Yes, it do. That's true. It does. But we also don't have mercury sitting inside our mouths, outgassing at 5 to 7 nanograms per deciliter per tooth per day. And we also don't have vaccines that are being used with preservatives of also mercury, but now with ethyl group or methyl group added to it and make it more similar to the system and then inject it into our bodies.
Sure.
So these are unnatural ways of being exposed to substances that are not good for us, and that's what causes our systems to start responding in a way that's detrimental.
Right, right. And of course, you know, I mentioned the genetic modifications. I mean, these were the add-ons when we were talking about the cardiovascular evidence from 70, 60, 50, you know, a long time ago now, back in the Korean War. And they didn't have the toxic assault to the level that we do today. Now, we throw in the GMOs to the mix, the genetically modified organisms, and they did the BT, this pesticide, they kind of genetically modified into the crops so that, well, we won't have to add the pesticides and the beetle won't get it. Now the beetle eating it for lunch. Same way, when they added the pesticide, didn't matter. Nature always finds a way. Man in his arrogance is showing evidence of his stupidity to think that he can outwit nature with even gene splicing and engineering at this level. Now, I'm obviously very concerned about these GMOs entering the environment, but I think nature's going to find a way to just clear this stuff out, because they're not making advancement for survival. They've made advancements for survival in terms of toxic assault of one particular pesticide, but nature always finds a way.
And I would reiterate that, because the one good thing about this upcoming 2012 calendar for me, Robert, is that whatever is going to happen, there's going to be a cleansing. And afterwards, a lot of this manure, because I can't come up with any other
good polite way to say it.
Yeah, will be washed away.
So we're talking
literally
purification, cleansing. Yeah, you know, that this is the thing about the planet itself, purification, cleansing. I mean, nature knows what to do. Our bodies know what to do. Our liver knows what to do. We don't have to think about it. Oh, I got to think. Oh, I got to cleanse to get those liver cells. I mean, the thing is, we do the thinking, we get in the way. You know, we got to get out of the way and stop putting in the garbage that is literally we're destroying ourselves. If we talk about the vaccine paradigm and the fact all of these things are linked up in a criminal enterprise to reduce the population, I mean, the very people that are foisting this upon the planet are going to be harmed by it as well. Their arrogance and ignorance perhaps is shielding them from that awareness. I don't know. But it is evil in that context, and we don't want to take away from that point. But in the end, nature will chew up and spit us out if that's the way we're going to go.
And nature, like you said, nature does not tolerate something for nothing for very long. I mean, in the history of the world, we're but a millisecond as far as all this nonsense that's been going on. But I completely agree with you. It will be compensated for, and it will be compensated with in a harsh way unless we wake up and see the reality.
Mm. Well, I mean, this is an exciting time, no doubt. I mean, we tend to try to find the positive track anywhere, even though we acknowledge some of these horrific disasters. And again, we come back to the vaccine issue and your own son and how the harm was there. But what it led to was so extraordinary, and it allows us to be together today and every Monday as we're doing the Advanced Medicine Monday, getting this information out there to provide the tools that empower people to heal themselves. As we said, no doctor heals you. If they do, then run the other way. The doctors are there to help you, to teach you how to heal yourself. You have to walk that walk, and we're here because we've learned how to walk that walk.
And hopefully reduce the learning curve for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing wrong with learning from others that have gone before you. I think that's a great way. Not everybody can do that. I recognize some people have to suffer through a lot of the ailments I personally had to suffer through to indelibly mark my body. So I know I can't do that ever again. I don't want to do that ever again. And of course, it gave me great passion and fortitude to, you know, bring forward this message in the way I do. And along with you, Dr. Bitar, and your passion because of our experience.
You know, it's interesting, Robert. I meant to ask you this, and I haven't asked you this off air, but have you noticed that whenever you're about to have or you've had a patient that comes to you, let me just tell you my experience. Mm-hmm. I find that when there's a certain condition, I will, like, have myself. I'll experience something, a pain.
Yes.
Or a discomfort or something.
Yes.
And then invariably I'll have a patient that comes with something similar but mm-hmm. much more intense, and then I'll have a second patient, then I have a third patient. It always seems to be coming in threes for some reason. I have no
yes.
idea why. And it's always related to, it's almost like I am being given mm-hmm. an insight that can only be experienced.
Yes.
And it's almost like upping the ante and saying, okay, you got to figure it out for yourself because you're now suffering from this. Have you ever had that experience?
Well, actually, I'm going to take a break here. And yes, indeed, I want to come back after this. We're going to talk about this. A very fascinating question Dr. Bittar is asking me. You're turning the tables on me now. This is always fun. So we're going to do that after this on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, the link's up all the way to Dr. Bittar and his wonderful book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. Special thanks to the Prepper Podcast Network at PrepperPodcast.com for carrying the voice of health, freedom, and liberty every day as well on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to ramp it up a little further, one more segment here on Advanced Medicine Monday after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, so Dr. Bittar turned the tables on me, asked me a fascinating question about if I had experienced things that end up coming to me for people come for health. Now, outside of menstrual difficulties, which I can't say I've actually had, but many women have come to me with that problem. I have to talk to my wife about those things, and we confer. But, yes, indeed. In fact, many of the ailments that I suffered with, and so many, it's more than I could list in one show, I come back to is my experiences such that taught me about what I had to do for that. Now, sometimes in a more contemporary context, I'll have these experiences as well. I think one of the more interesting ones, believe it or not, is what I call the chelidonium point, the top of the liver on the backside, the pain between the shoulder blades, how that indicates, an acute liver congestion. We're not talking liver failure necessarily, but how many people will come to me with these phantom pains and how I would say, at a certain point in my learning, I had to learn about these pains that it wasn't just a headache. It wasn't just a thing here, that it always related to some function or some system or some organ. And I think in those cases, yeah, I tend to get that. And I'm like, oh, why? Now I'm at the point of, okay, who's coming to see me? What are they going to ask about? And so you become very philosophical about these little nagging things that occasionally you'll have. You still have a human body. We got to go through it.
Well, that's exactly how it's been my experience too, that it's I almost look at it slightly different though. My perspective is it's almost like a guidance. It's a
yes.
It's an inner guidance that whatever source energy, the infinite creator, the supreme being or whatever you want to call it, universal mm-hmm. consciousness is guiding me by saying, okay, you're going to need this information.
Yep.
And this is how it really feels.
Yes.
And this is what they're experiencing. And I think that, you know, the first time this happened to me, and it happens quite frequently now, but the first time this happened to me, it scared the hell out of me. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But
yeah.
I mean, to the point now, pretty much if there's something unusual, I will experience the pain or the discomfort or whatever the issue is before I even pick up the chart. So I've never seen the chart. I don't even know the patient is a brand new patient. I'll pick up the chart. I'll walk into the room. And as I open the chart, I will have been having that problem for the last 15, 20 minutes, which is unusual because I'm like, I don't have the problem with this.
Right,
I don't have
right.
the problem. So I just thought I was out of curiosity.
No, it's beautiful in that context, too, because you'll get a glimpse, a personal glimpse. There's an ability to empathize as well, even in the moment. As you said, a lot of times I'll think back to my experiences much earlier, but there are occasionally times where those things will pop up in the moment. You're like, well, what is this? And then you find out, indeed, this is what they're feeling. You have these so-called, they call them sympathy pains, right? The
yeah,
husband with
yeah.
the with the wife that's pregnant,
yeah,
as such.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a deep connection. And when you make a commitment to healing, you open yourself up to that. It's not that we want to take on things that aren't ours to take on, but you know, I sometimes will warn people, you really want to go into healing, you may have to experience things you're not going to like.
Yeah.
Because if you're really dedicated to help others, that's part of part of what comes with it.
You know, it's funny, Robert, you said that because I've probably asked probably no exaggeration two or three dozen times in the last 5 or 6 years by either people that are graduating from college or getting ready to graduate from college and going to mm-hmm. profession, or you know, somebody that knows I'm a doctor and they want their child to talk to me, or
yes,
you know, and I will always say the same thing. I say, oh, please don't, you know, do yourself a favor, don't go to medicine.
Don't go
to medicine.
Yeah,
you know, there's like a hundred other things you can do that are, you know, going to be much better for you than to go into medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the people say, oh, but do you regret it? I said, no, I don't regret it. This is what I was supposed to do, so I'm. You know, this is my life mission. I don't even try to fight it. I fought it for years, and I don't even fight it now because I know that mm-hmm. as long as I stay on this track, everything is, you know, fine. I can do anything. If I don't stay on this track, everything else I do, it, you know, falls apart because this is not what I was ordained to do. I mean, this is what I was ordained to
right,
do.
Exactly.
Something else was not what I was ordained to do. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm only being half facetious when I'm telling people not to seek a profession in the healing arts, but you know, part of me also knows that there's a better time coming, and it will be good for those people that are coming that have a sincere desire to help other
yes,
people. And there
yes.
are a lot of doctors that are there in conventional medicine right now that really want to help their patients. Unfortunately, they're not doing a very good job of it because they're victims of the system just as the patients are. But the key is that one has to have the desire, as you said. They have
yeah.
to have a commitment to the profession, because we're not talking about, you know, selling cars or, you know, doing taxes or trying to keep somebody out of jail. I mean, all these are noble professions, I'm sure, but you know, there's a difference when it comes to medicine. There's a difference when it comes to healing. And there is nothing else that's like it. And so I believe that those that make that commitment need to have that real commitment.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
one of the probably the nicest things that anybody ever said to me was Dr. Jim Smith, after he read my book. He said that he believed that the book should be a primer for all first-year medical students.
I think that's brilliant. That's great. You know, my uncle was a medical doctor. He warned me not to go into the profession. Now, at the time he told me this, I had always had the burning desire to be a doctor from when I was as little as I can remember. But I had no other model for what a doctor was. It was only allopathic pharmaceutical medicine in my family. And so it wasn't until I gave up on modern medicine because of my experience with it that, you know, four or five years later that I found a homeopathic doctor that I was able to train with for so many years. And so in many ways, I also opened that up because of my experience to say it might not be this profession, but you may have, again, in the change that we're talking about, the transformation we're living in our lifetime, there will be openings to all kinds of healing that are now considered fringe and marginalized that will become very much a normal part of everybody's existence. And many are being called to do that, but they don't have a framework, just like I didn't, to know what that was.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because, and I don't know whether we have enough time to go into this.
We only got about a minute and a half, so we can dart into it and pick it up next week, too, if you want.
Well, I'll just start it off by saying that at a conference, a medical conference a couple of years back, probably about 8 years ago, there was a comment that was made by somebody that I didn't know who they were, but they said that they could see all my supposed past lives. And in those past lives, I was always a soldier. And even one of them, I was a woman, and I was still a soldier. And I said, well, I guess that changed in this lifetime. And one of my colleagues, a doctor who was the chairman of the ABCMT at the time, Dr. Nash, sitting across the table, he said, no, it didn't. He said, it's the same, you know, it's the same thing. And then I realized what he was trying to say, that, you know, like you talked about the healing thing. I don't think I was supposed to be, I mean, I'm a doctor, but, and I guess there's a soldier component in there somewhere.
Yes.
Everybody keeps on saying that. So I think that you're right. They say the medicine, the health, you don't have to be a doctor to be a healer.
Right.
I think this is a misnomer that people have, because look at the shamans and look at the there's many people that are healers. In fact, I've met people that are not, that are like I know of a hairdresser that I think is more of a healer than the vast majority of doctors I know.
That's one of the most profound things, of the many profound things you said here, and I'm just so grateful to have that acknowledged, because there are a lot of people out there that have this sense that they have to be a healer, but they limit their expression of what that healing is, partly because they don't know. I didn't either, but my goodness, what is opening up? The healing that is opening up, and we are in the midst of it, Dr. Bitar, is so extraordinary, and that acknowledges it probably for many people. We may never know the people that are touched by that, so thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Bitar, we've hit it. We have cranked up another wonderful Advanced Medicine Monday right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I'm thrilled that we were able to do that, and of course, as we wrap up the day, as we do every week, it's the saying that you won't let me get away without saying at the end of the show. And I love it.
Power to heal
is yours. Thanks again, Dr. Bitar.
Take care, Robert.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.